I was born on July 8, 1792, in Plymouth County, Massachusetts. My father, also named Joseph Bates, moved to New Bedford a year later, and I grew up in that seafaring town, listening to salty tales of far-off lands and high adventure. When I was a schoolboy, my head was always in the clouds, dreaming of the day when I would be allowed to go to sea.
Joseph Bates? Bates, are you with us? Wake up, boy!
Yes, Mr. Wilkins, I'm... awake. What was the question?
The question, young sir, was, in what year did the British surrender to the American forces, and where did that event take place?
Well, that was in 83 in, Georgetown?
Wrong! Can anyone in the class inform Mr. Bates of the right answer? Prudence Nye, will you help him?
Cornwallis surrendered to General Washington on October 18, 1781 at Yorktown, Mr. Wilkins.
Very good, Prudence. You may sit down. As for you, Joseph Bates, you should be ashamed. Your own father was an officer in the Continental Army and a hero of the Revolution.
Yes, sir. I realize that I should know more about our country's history.
If you would spend more time with your books and less time down at the waterfront, you'd be better off, young man.
Yes, sir.
You will be better prepared from now on, or you will feel the end of my pointing stick on your end. Do you understand? All right. Class dismissed. Mrs. Bates, where is your son? He's late for supper again.
Why is it, Mr. Bates, that when Joseph has done something not to your liking, he becomes my son?
Well, I suppose he's dockside again, listening to sailors spin their far-fetched yarns.
Hello, Mother, Father. Sorry I'm late.
Here, Joseph, have some of this chowder.
Oh, wow.
Watch out, it's very hot.
Thank you, Mother.
Joseph, I will not tolerate your being late for supper, night after night. As soon as school lets out, you run down to the wharves. I don't understand what you see in those filthy old sailing ships.
What I see, Father, are the faraway places that the ships have visited.
Ah.
I smell the spices of the Orient, and I hear the stories of Barbary pirates and of whale hunting in the North Pacific.
North Pacific, I want you to forget all that nonsense. When you're through with school next year, I want you to come into my business.
We've talked about this before, Father. I don't want to be stuck in a Bedford shop. I want to be a deep water sailor.
Well, wait till you're out of school. Then we'll see. We'll see.
So, Mr. Bates, this is your son.
Uh-huh.
Well, he looks like a strong, willing lad.
And strong-willed, too, Captain Terry. He wants nothing more than to be a sailor. His mother and I have given in to his wishes in hopes that a long sea voyage will cure him of the idea.
Well, it may do just the opposite, Mr. Bates. With some of us, once the sea gets into the blood, there is no turning back. Well, I'll sign him on as cabin boy. How would you like that, Joseph?
I'd like that just fine, Captain Terry.
You're on, then. My ship, the Fanny, sails on the morning tide. Say your goodbyes, boy, and get your gear on board. Mr. Eldridge, the first mate, will show you where to bunk.
In June of 1807, we sailed from New Bedford to New York City to take on a cargo of wheat. We had a pleasant, uneventful run across the Atlantic and anchored at a London dock. We finished our business in London, and 1 week later, we hauled out of our dock into the River Thames and commenced filling our water casks for the homeward voyage.
Oh, I don't see how we'll be able to drink this horrid stuff, Bilbo.
What's the matter, Joe?
Why, this water is filthy. Look, there are green and yellow streaks in it, and the mud is so thick you could walk on it.
It don't look like much, I grant it. All the scum and muck from London town drains down into the Thames, but don't worry none. By the time we're ready to drink it, the muck will settle to the bottom of the cask.
Well, Bilbo, I may have to drink it, but I'd prefer pure, cold Vermont spring water. I'd rather drink that.
So would I, boy. So would I.
over the port side rail. Why aren't they swabbing the decks as ordered?
They are trailing a hunk of red meat in the water, sir. A great shark following close astern, and they're trying to lure him alongside.
Look at the size of him.
That's a great white shark, Joe. Look to be 18 feet long.
He's big, all right. Do you think he's very dangerous, Bilbo?
Is he dangerous?
Why, boy, I seen a great white shark not as big as this and bite a shipmate of mine right in two. Swallowed him in just two mouthfuls.
I seen sharks follow a vessel for hundreds of miles just a-waiting for some poor sailor to fall overboard.
They seem to know when there's sick men aboard.
What has that to do with sharks following a ship?
They seem to sense when a man going to die or when a sailor lost overboard. They're bad omen sharks. You just watch. Something's bad gonna happen.
All right, man, that's enough of them tall tales. You're scaring the boy half to death.
Tall tales? Mr. Eldridge, you've been at sea for many years. Ain't what we've been saying about the sharks the gospel truth?
Well, there's some truth in them stories, but ain't no use in frightening the boy. Pull in your lure now and get back to work.
Okay. Come on, get back to work.
Yeah. Now, don't you listen too close to tales crew members spin, Joseph. They're a superstitious lot.
Thank you, sir. But I know when they're pulling my leg.
Good boy. I got a job for you, Joseph.
What is that, sir?
We're in a well-used shipping lane. I want you to go topside and have a look around for any sails. Huh. Now, you yell if you spot anything.
Aye, sir. I'm on my way.
Look at that boy Clive, Mr. Eldridge. He's going to be a fine seaman one of these days.
Well, he's got spunk, all right. He's climbing the rigging like a monkey.
He reached the main t'gallant already.
There's nothing from horizon to horizon, Mr. Eldridge. Not a sail in sight.
All right, Joseph. Now climb down now. Not so fast, boy. Slow down.
Oh, he missed his handful. He's falling.
Joseph! Man overboard! Quick, Bilbo. Cast out a rope. It's his only hope.
As I came gasping to the surface, I saw the ship passing beyond my reach. There was nothing on the smooth hull that I could grasp as it slid by me. The captain and the crew rushed to the stern of the ship, and I saw Bilbo hurl a coil of rope with all his strength.
Catch the rope, boy! Grab the end!
He got it! He caught the rope! Heave, man! Heave!
He's wrong side! Easy now! I'll become... A little more... That's it! This boy's gonna be all right. Oh, he's just wet, that's all.
Bilbo, I never expected to be standing on this deck again. Thank you, my friend, and thank God.
Bet you're gonna be more careful climbing the ring from now on, won't you, boy?
Sam, will you look at that? Come over to the starboard rail, boys.
What do you see, Abel?
Look over the side. That shark is still following us.
What? You mean the shark was just on the other side of the ship while I was in the water?
He sure was. Look at him glide. Look at him glide alongside, just please, just punch. What's the matter, Joe? You're white as a sheet and trembling like you caught the ague.
Yes, that must be it, Bilbo. I must have caught the ague when I fell into the water. I don't feel so good. I think I'll go lie down in my bunk for a while.
That boy is half scared out of his mind.
Well, wouldn't you be? But he's a pretty brave boy. Most boys his age would be blubbering from now till we reach New Bedford.
You got that right, Mr. Eldridge. Wonder how come that shark changed his position to where he couldn't see that boy.
Only God knows, Bilbo.
Maybe you're right, Mr. Eldridge. Only God knows.
The Fanny reached New Bedford without further incident. When my family heard the tale of my narrow escape, they were sure that I was cured and would never go to sea again. But they were wrong. In 3 weeks' time, I signed on the Fanny for another cruise.